Pray with me. Good and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Imagine someone tells you to go on a trip, but to not pack a suitcase. And you're not sure where you will be staying that night. Oh, and you can't bring any money with you. I'm sure none of us would do such a foolish thing. We like to prepare. We like to know where we are going and then make plans on how to get there. But Jesus orders his disciples to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. Doesn't seem like a very well thought out plan to spread the gospel. I mean, he didn't even form an evangelism committee and talk about strategies for 6 months. Why would Jesus send them out unprepared without provisions? Seems like their missionary efforts would be doomed to fail. But amazingly, they are very successful. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. Why were they so successful? Because they put their trust in Jesus. They take very little as a sign of their complete dependency on Jesus Christ. They're sent out with the confidence that it's Jesus' mission that they are a part of. And because they take very little, they are vulnerable and open to receive hospitality from others. They receive food and lodgings from others, and those they meet receive in return the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in this mutual exchange, relationships are built and community begins to be built. God moments happen. Christ's extraordinary presence is revealed in the ordinary moments of hospitality and kindness we show to one another. Unlike those who knew Jesus, disciples have faith. Those that grew up with Jesus see him as an ordinary guy from their hometown, a man of humble beginnings. Strangely, he is identified by who his mother is, not by who his father is. Perhaps this was a way of claiming that they didn't know who his real father was. And they didn't take too kindly to having him teach in their synagogue. To them, he was acting like someone who was putting on airs, as if he was at a higher status than he should be. And they didn't like it one bit. They were so caught up in seeing the ordinary, they couldn't see the extraordinary in Christ. They couldn't see this carpenter from Nazareth was indeed the Son of God, the long-awaited Messiah. They thought they knew how God acts and what God does. And Jesus simply just didn't fit their preconceived notions of the Messiah. Their lack of faith causes them to reject Jesus, cutting themselves off from the saving, healing power of God. Now, Jesus is Jesus, so he has the power to heal even in the face of unbelief. But what he will not do is force someone to believe or force his salvation on someone else. It is always offered as a free gift, but it is a gift that has to be received by faith. Disbelief in the power of God to change our lives closes us off from God's mighty works in Christ. It can hinder us for moving forward in our spiritual journey and in our journey of discipleship. So today's gospel lesson invites us to name and claim the Nazareth within ourselves. How have we been closed off from the power of God in our lives? When we think we can't do this or can't do that because we are too little a congregation or too weak, or we're getting too old to go out and do ministry, then we close ourselves off to the power of God to transform us through our participation in Christ's mighty acts in the world. Bless you. We cease to be the church. Jesus makes it very clear that what is foundational to our identity as his church and what it means to be his body of Christ on earth is that we are sent. We are sent into the world, into the messiness of people's lives, to give them the life-giving message of the gospel. It is a message that the kingdom of God is indeed in their midst, transforming the world, their worlds, into a place filled with God's life. And we are called to proclaim the gospel with boldness and courage, trusting that Jesus' powerful presence will be with us. We know from Jesus' own life experience and from what he tells his followers who are sent, that there will be some who just will not accept the gospel message. They will not accept Jesus Christ. Perhaps they can't accept a God who reveals his extraordinary presence in the ordinary, the familiar. Perhaps they can't see a God in a person from humble beginnings. Perhaps they can't see a God who reveals himself in suffering, suffering on the cross. So we continue to the next place. We continue to be Jesus' followers, spreading the gospel in words and actions of love. Now, as we gather with families today to celebrate the 4th of July, our independence as a country, let's not forget that every time we gather here in this place to worship God in thanks and praise for what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do in Jesus Christ, we celebrate our freedom from sin and death. We celebrate that we are set free for new life as citizens of the kingdom of God. And we go out to invite others to come and to splash at the baptismal font, to taste and see that the Lord is good, to celebrate in their freedom and their new eternal life in Christ. Amen.